Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain hill. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength. O Jerusalem, herald of good news, lift it up. Fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arms rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. This is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you and by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I am not aware of anything against myself. But I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness, and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey, when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning. Lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The sermon title is, Are You Ready for the End? Sermon author is Pastor Noland. It is based on the gospel just read. Now that the elections are over, the national news has returned to normal topics, like natural disasters and the war in Ukraine. I recently saw a rerun television documentary about Hurricane Sandy. Sandy has the distinction of being the largest Atlantic hurricane in the record books, reaching 1,100 miles in diameter. In the USA, Hurricane Sandy caused 131 fatalities and $63 billion in damage. Having lived in New York City for 4 years, I recognize many of the places that were damaged by the storm. Staten Island, Coney Island, the Rockaways, Breezy Point, and other low-lying areas of Manhattan, Brooklyn, and Queens. Even more damaging were the ocean surges that hit Atlantic City, Ocean City, the Jersey Shore, and the Barrier Islands further south. Sandy was unlike many other storms in that people had plenty of warning where it was going to hit. European meteorologists predicted that the New Jersey coast and New York City would get a direct hit 12 days before it happened. 3 days before Sandy hit, the government advised or ordered evacuation from the coastal areas of Maryland, Delaware, New Jersey, and New York. In all the places that would be damaged by Sandy, police, fire, and other civic officials told the residents to leave 3 days ahead of time. After battening down the hatches, most people left, but not all. What were the people thinking who stayed in their homes or apartments when they were told to leave? Some didn't believe the government authorities. Some didn't think the storm would be worse than the last one. Some thought their home was too high in elevation to be affected. Some didn't have transportation to leave town. Some were shut-ins who couldn't leave their home, and no one was watching out for them. Others just didn't want to bother. All who stayed regretted it. Some are now dead. Hurricane Sandy is just a drop in the bucket compared to the natural disasters that will overcome the world just before Jesus returns. Just like many people ignored the warnings about Hurricane Sandy, many people ignore the warnings that Jesus gave about the end of the world. There is no doubt that Jesus taught these things to his disciples because they are reported in 3 out of the 4 Gospels. Jesus' sermon about the end of the world is found in Matthew 24, verses 3 to 44, Luke 21, verses 7 to 36, and in our gospel, Mark 13, verses 3 to 37. The omens of Jesus' return are, in our gospel, verses 24 and 25. The sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Luke 21:25 adds, the sea and the waves roaring. As a result of these omens, there will be distress of nations with perplexity, men's hearts failing them from fear, and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. Luke 21:25-26. The Christian religion is not unique in a belief in the end of the world and these type of signs of the end. Zoroastrianism, Judaism, Islam, and most forms of Christianity predict similar events at the end of the world. Other religions, such as Hinduism and Buddhism, believe in cycles of history, punctuated by natural disasters which destroy the old world and usher in the new world. Only liberal Protestantism and other modern forms of unbelief reject the idea of the end of the world altogether. They believe that all humankind will continue to evolve towards some future golden age, and that this is our evolutionary destiny. Many Protestants in the United States believe in, or have been influenced by, millennial ideas. Millennialists ignore the clear teaching of Jesus in our gospel. instead of looking to omens in the sun, moon, stars, sky, and oceans, millennialists try to detect the plans of God by calculations from biblical prophecy and by interpreting current events, especially as that pertains to the Jews and the Holy Land. These ideas were rejected in the Lutheran Augsburg Confession, Article 7, which states, "Rejected are certain Jewish opinions which are even now making an appearance, and which that teach that, before the resurrection of the dead, saints and godly men will possess a worldly kingdom and annihilate all the godless." People who think they can determine the time of the end of the world and when Jesus will return need to hear Jesus' own words in our gospel. In verses 32 and 33, Jesus says, "Concerning that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on your guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come." I am always amused when I meet people who think they know better than Jesus himself when the time of the end will come. Yes, even Jesus doesn't know, and he is God, with omniscience and foreknowledge and everything else that pertains to God. If Jesus doesn't know the day, year, and hour, no mere man will know, that's for sure. What can you do to be ready for the end of the world? If everything in this world is going to be destroyed, what good does it do to stockpile supplies or build concrete bunkers or move to a remote part of the world? What good does it do to back up your computer files or pack up your family photos? None of that is going to survive the end of the world. It only has use here on this earth for present or future generations. What can you do to be ready? You can't protect your stuff, and you can't take it with you, but you can protect your faith and your soul. Jesus says, verse 35 to 37, "Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the cock crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. When I say to you, I say to all people, stay awake." In other words, remain spiritually alert. How can you stay spiritually alert? By continuing the practices that Jesus has given the believers to strengthen and exercise their faith. 1. Attend church on a regular basis and pay attention to the lessons and sermon. 2. Receive the absolution and Holy Communion on a regular basis. 3. Attend Bible class on Sunday or at other times when it is offered. 4. Pray daily, both privately and as a couple or family. 5. Read and study the scriptures on your own. 6. Share the gospel with people who don't believe, especially unbelievers among your family, friends, and neighbors. 7. Read good Lutheran literature like Portals of Prayer, the Book of Concord, the works of Martin Luther, etc. And 8. Encourage and support your fellow congregation members and other Christians through both good and bad times. As we are reminded in this season of the first coming of Jesus, I pray that you may renew your commitment to Jesus and his word so that your faith may be strengthened day by day as we await Jesus' second coming in glory. In Jesus' name, amen.